If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Live from Liverpool, The Dark Paranormal, Season 20.
Hello everyone and welcome back to The Dark Paranormal, Season 20, Episode 7. I genuinely cannot believe after this episode we only have two more episodes and then our season finale. And believe me, it's one of the greatest ones I think we've received. Now, first and foremost, a couple of quick updates for those not subscribed to our YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/thedarkparanormal. You may have missed, but we should, fingers crossed, I say this as I record this episode on a Wednesday for our Patreons, we should have released our first episode of Dark Vault, or The Dark Vault, to be precise, where I take a look at some of the stories and experiences that were sent in to me from my previous paranormal podcast. Now, there is no audio for that particular podcast. That's going to be YouTube only. It's going to be as and when, and they're going to fluctuate in time from maybe 5 minutes to anything up to 20. They are just short, succinct snippets of the supernatural. And believe me, the alliteration that's took place so far is completely coincidental. I would also like to say a huge thank you to everyone who's made this season so far our best yet. And that's from my personal perspective. I know from the emails we've received, a lot of you share that view. Now, if you do want to get in touch with us for any feedback or suggestions for Dark Realms, etc., you can email us at contact@thedarkparanormal.com. However, as you know by now, to submit your own experience, irrelevant of length, you need to either click in the show notes where you'll find a link, or head direct to the website, thedarkparanormal.com, and click on Submit My Experience. Now, one final update. I did say that we would have some news regarding those people asking for Apple subscriptions. Now, a decision has been made. We're not going to go forward with Apple subscriptions, and the simple reason behind that being is it's not viable. What I mean by that is, our Patreon allows people to watch videos earlier than everyone else. It allows them to have also an audio feed of that video. So, for example, when I mentioned The Dark Vault, the Patreons will receive an audio version of that, simply because that's how Patreon works. However, Apple doesn't have that functionality for video just yet. The pricing structure would have to change, so you'd need to pay more to get less, if that makes sense. However, we are working on a workaround through the website, our own website, to hopefully try and bring some sort of membership option to that, which will supply you with an RSS code that will work on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc., as well as giving you a login for the Dark Paranormal website, which will allow you to watch the videos earlier than everyone else if you are a member. So that's currently cooking in the background, and I'm hoping we have it all running by Season 21. And speaking of Season 21, guys, it's time now. I'm going to put the shout out. Send in your experiences for consideration for Season 21. We already have quite a few from people who know how this works. We generally ask for submissions around this time for the actual season itself of The Dark Paranormal. So, generally speaking, as a rule of thumb, if your experience covers 6 one-side pages of A4 of a Word document, that should be fine for one episode of The Dark Paranormal. One thing we do ask, if you find your experience only covers 3 pages, send that in 3 pages, and we'll find it as a minisode, or we'll add it to Dark Bites. Please don't try and fill it with fluff, because what could have been a great minisode will end up not being heard by anyone because it's been sent in a 30-minute format instead of a 15-minute format as it should. And once again, you can contribute to the show with your experiences by clicking directly in the show notes or going to the website thedarkparanormal.com. Now, of course, for the month of June only, as stated in previous episodes, we are allowing everyone free access to the top tier of The Dark Paranormal's Patreon. This means you will receive early ad-free episodes, you will receive early videos, and basically anything in between, and have full access to the entire back catalogue of Dark Bites. And if you choose not to stay on, then thank you for trying, no harm, no foul, and just follow the instructions given to you when you join the free trial. Our Patreon community is something I am genuinely in awe of. It is self-made, and I don't mean by me, I mean by the community itself. It's self-governed, it's a marvel in the paranormal world, which can be quite toxic. It's a safe refuge for people to share what they would never share anywhere else. From ardent believers to ardent skeptics, it doesn't matter. The one thing that is consistent in that community is respect. And it's a beautiful place, genuinely. That's coming from someone who's been in most paranormal forums online, and you always get that toxicity, hierarchy, etc. It does not exist on our Patreon. It's a wonderful place to be. And if you'd like to be part of it, head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. Just like the following wonderful new team members have: Andrea Boak, Hunter Miller, Alex May, Shaylin Shirley, Andrew, Teddy, Jesse D, Jack Pullman, Darkflower, Amos J, Stephen Vincent, Hausler, Up All Night, Patrona, One Way Up, Lily Edwards, Simone, Missy Out There, Mac L, Be Yourself 1111, Hell's Bells, Ivy Costa, and Stephen Blake. Sincerely, guys, thank you so much. You allow this show to be free for everyone online. And without your support, this show simply would not be possible. And I hope you enjoy the perks that you do get, such as the 100-plus hours of the back catalogue of Dark Bites, etc. Sincerely, from my heart, thank you. But right now, it's time to lower those lights. Make yourself comfortable, and of course, leave your disbelief at the door, as we hear all about the Chanting Women. To begin, I need to give you a few insights on the history of my experiences to solidify that the experience wasn't just a dream or a figment of my imagination. After listening to many, and I mean many, episodes of The Dark Paranormal, it reminded me of many times I've experienced things throughout the time I grew up. Growing up, I was always afraid of the dark, and I hated sleeping in rooms alone. I recall many times I'd scream out in the middle of the night. I was a terrified child. Anything from childish games like Bloody Mary, or the books, horror stories told in the dark, well, these only added fuel to the fire. Now, as an adult who understands, to an extent, the sensitivity to the paranormal I have, and probably had as a child, that was most likely the reason I was so afraid. From the age of 4 till the age of 13, I lived in Las Vegas, Nevada. Nevada has a very dark history, especially in the Las Vegas areas. First time I ever noticed feeling anything strange was when I was around 9 years old. I was out at a place about 45 minutes from town, at Diamond Ranch. I was on a school field trip to Old Nevada, a mining town that was recreated for theatrics and tourists. But the feeling of being watched was unbearable. To this day, I remember the creepiness I felt going through those old buildings and watching those events be recreated through theatrics. That place left me with recurring dreams well into adulthood and a longing to go back. It wasn't until a few years ago I realized why. I'd been watching Ghost Adventures with my fiancé when it came on the screen. I almost cried. I leapt up to the end of the bed, losing my mind as I stared at the place I had for so long thought about so often. Turns out, there is a malevolent entity there, and I never realized. It made me think of how my mother used to talk about the house she grew up in and the longing she had to go back. She used to have repeated nightmares of buying the house because something whispered it to her, trying to coax her back, to the point of obsession with the place. Again, when I turned 10 years old, I saw my first shadow figure. I was sitting at the table with my brother doing my math homework, while my dad was in the kitchen making SpaghettiOs for dinner. My mother was in her room. I saw to my left in my peripheral view a tall black shadow. Thinking it was my dad walking behind me, I said something to him, and he responded to me from my right, where the kitchen was located. I remember taking in my surroundings and feeling an uneasy watchfulness coming from the slider glass on either side of the room leading to the patio. For weeks after seeing my first shadow figure, I would see one roaming my room at night, whilst I laid on the bottom bunk of mine and my sister's bed. Eventually, I became so unsettled, I moved to the top bunk. I never did express anything to my parents, as I didn't think they'd believe me. Home life during that time was rough, to say the least. My dad had just gotten into a workplace injury, requiring a multitude of surgeries. And around that time was when I was beginning to have these dreams. Dreams that came to play in real life, leaving me with deja vu. Eventually, we moved again to a new apartment, and life seemed to settle down. Or so I thought. Soon, I began to feel eyes watching me in my new bedroom. I chalked it up to the fact that I had two sliding mirrors on either side of one end of my room. The entirety of my 3 years in that apartment, I always felt watched. When we first moved in, there was a lady that lived in that apartment building down the hall, on the first floor. One day, we found out she'd passed away in that apartment. It sat vacant for weeks, until a man and his son moved into the unit. Being that my older brother, sister, and I were the only other kids in that unit, we became fast friends with that boy. And we would go over to his house quite often, and go to school with him. We even began joining them in church on Sundays, and they were part of the Mormon Latter-day Saints church. Note, I no longer participate in that church, and I'm now a Wiccan, and more spiritual. But after my story, I think you'll understand why. One night, I was up reading an American Chiller's book on my top bunk bed, the one that I now shared with my brother, as my sister slept with my parents. Next thing, I see movement in the room, just along the edge of the top of my book. The hall light from outside my bedroom window gave more than enough light to read in the dark. I lazily told my brother, "Go back to bed," assuming he'd just got up to get water or maybe use the bathroom, even though I never heard a flush, and the bathroom was attached to my bedroom in a Jack and Jill style to the hallway on the other side of the bathroom. Still thinking it was him, I just continue reading my book without looking up. That was until I heard a loud snore from below me. Still seeing a figure above my book, directly in the middle of my room. Now I looked up from my book, and staring back at me was a white woman with dark hair and a long nightgown. Where her eyes should have been were black sunken sockets. She was frail, old, thin, and just stared at me. My only thought was, "Screw this," and I quickly shoved my book under the pillow and flopped to the other side, pulling my blanket over my head. Eventually, my brother moved out of my room to the spare room. But within 6 months, we switched rooms. I never understood why until years later, when my mother and I talked about that apartment. I confided in her that one Sunday, I'd woke up to get ready for church with my friend, yet I couldn't get up. I was paralyzed where I laid. No, this wasn't just some case of sleep paralysis, as one may think. I felt the crushing weight of actual hands holding me down. I wanted to cry out, but fear kept me from screaming. Eventually, there was a scream, but not from me, from outside my window, and the sound of glass shattering. The weight disappeared. Next thing, the neighbor's wife ran down the walkway, screaming that her husband was trying to kill her and her baby. As I type, I wonder if this thing had been keeping me from looking out of my window to stop me from seeing the scene that was playing out in the walkway, just outside of my second story window, to the unit beside ours. But still, that same man would eventually find his way into my mother's heart over the next few years, shifting my life once again. I found out after we moved that my brother moved to the spare room because he experienced the same thing. Being held down in bed, unable to move, yet he was able to call for my mother. She'd also began to sleep on the couch, because she was hearing noises coming from the kitchen. She heard them so often and even seen shadow figures walking round in the room I saw that woman, she decided the couch was the best option. Later on, my sister even told me she saw a man with a hat in my parents' bedroom doorway when she was 6 years old in that apartment. That summer, we left Nevada and moved to Michigan, where my entire family is from, so we could be closer to family and, I can only assume, a safer area. My dad, however, stayed behind and would come to visit every so often. At first, we moved into a house on the lake in Vesterberg. We lived there for 3 months, and I will forever have that place lodged in my brain. The three-bedroom house was on a large piece of land, and right around the corner from where my great-grandmother lived when she was alive. The days not at school were spent cleaning up the inside, raking up endless leaves that would riddle the front yard and the extensive backyard. I always had this unsettled feeling in the house. I would hate stepping foot into the garage. It stood out about 10 feet from the front door. I loathed leaving the house at night to let our dog out to go potty. Maybe it was just the fact it was an old and falling apart house, or maybe it was the fact friends from school called it the haunted house. But whatever it was, we didn't stay long. Once, we put our dog into my room just for an hour whilst we went to the next town shopping. He was traumatized from staying in that room. He was never the same afterwards. When we came back, he'd clawed his way up my hardwood dresser, pooped and peed all over my room. Bedding was thrown from the bed. And from that point, he refused to go into my room. Not that I blamed him, mind you. I hated it too. I had the cellar entrance in my closet. I would hear noises coming from that closet. I would leave the closet light on, a drawstring light bulb type, when I'd sleep. Occasionally, I'd see shadows under the doorframe. But I tried my best to ignore it, given the idea of not giving it that power of fear to feed off from me. After some court issues over the falling apart property, my mother moved us to the apartment in which my aunt used to live in. We lived there for a year, and I'm quite sure something followed us from that house. as the neighbors below us would complain that there was loud thumping from our house when we weren't home. Again, I would hear noises coming from the closet and sleep with the closet shut. I eventually would move to my mother's room, mattress and all, because of the vibe I got from that room, including the time I slept in there and had a dream of a man walking down the hallway, dressed in an overcoat and hat. When I woke up from that dream, I felt as though I was still in that moment, and I moved from sleeping on the floor to curling up next to my half-brother. My half-brother was staying overnight there. He came over frequently on weekends to spend time with me, especially after my elder brother ran away after turning 17. Life had gotten bad after moving into that apartment. My mother was abusing narcotics and shutting herself away in her room at the end of the hall. My elder brother couldn't stand living at home and ran away to our aunt, then to our biological dad's home. I never liked my mother's closet either, as something felt off, like something or someone was watching me. I once was laying on the floor next to my mother's bed, and I felt fingers brush against my foot, then grab it. I told my mother to stop touching my foot, and she looked at me and said she was nowhere near my foot. I flew off that floor and into her bed faster than ever. We finished out the lease, and by summer, we moved yet again. Life began a crazy cycle of events. It was around the age of 15 to 16 that I began having dreams that came to pass. That deja vu again. That man I mentioned prior to us leaving Las Vegas, the one that tried to kill his wife and baby, began dating my mum, brought dark magic into our home. He had books aplenty on Aleister Crowley and other dark, unnatural forces. When the two finally split up, the tension of the house burst outwards. That's the only way I can describe it. As one of the two swiped old antique bells off the counter in a fit of rage. After that, the house was never the same. We would hear bells, those antique bells, chime from inside the house. Those bells were from polio days, as they had the markings that matched the research that I'd done on them for my mother. She's an avid collector of antiques, and I love a good history lesson. After that, I began having dreams of women in white chanting in my backyard and seeing a demonic goat head in the corner above my door. I was terrified. Terrified to the extent I bought a Celtic protection necklace, one I would wear if the fear got too much. Or I would tie it to my doorknob, which it had been on every doorknob since to ward off any evil that lurked about. But that's not what my story today is about, not by a long shot. The story I want to tell you and told myself today I would write about is what I'm going to tell you next. Now that I've given some history of my experience with the paranormal and coming into my extension of this weird insight I've learned I have over the years. I began my Wiccan journey around the age of 23. For the past years, I've learned to read tarot and use pendulums, never Ouija boards. But I've read a lot on the paranormal and strengthened my abilities. I've learned when I come into contact with entities, I feel it in my lower spine. Please keep that in mind as I go on. It was Easter 2023. About a year and a half after I had a close call with death from an ectopic pregnancy, when I felt the psychic surge again, but stronger than ever. My boyfriend, now fiancé, and I went to his dad's house for Easter. He'd moved to Spokane, Washington, in a house built around the 1940s. My fiancé's sibling and mother had already seen the place, and they all said it was a little creepy, especially in the basement. I, with my interest in the paranormal, was curious as to how creepy it really was. I remember opening up the basement door and standing there with a knot in my stomach as I stared down these steep steps to the concrete floor. There was a low ceiling in that room, and it was chilly, musty. We piled down the stairs and into the room, and there were two rooms down there, one on either side of the stairs. Both had mirrored doors on them, which struck me as odd, not creepy. The room to the left wasn't too bad, just dark and small. The room to the right, however, sent a chill up and down my spine, stopping at the lower base of my spine. It had a little Harry Potter cubby room under the stairs, and all my mind's eye could see was a body laying there. My very first thought was, someone's OD'd on meth here. That is very prevalent in the area of Spokane. But also a strange thought to just leap into my head, I thought to myself, so I shrugged it off. I didn't like the feeling that room gave me, and I went upstairs, and within the hour we left for home. That night, I woke up needing to use the bathroom. As we live with my fiancé's mum, we would leave the door closed most of the way, but open enough to allow airflow. The bedroom door is right across from our bed against the window. And I got that feeling in my back again. And I instantly knew something was off. I saw it with my mind's eye. I'm not sure how, but I did. On the other side of that door was something malevolent. Pure evil. I knew it was tall. I knew it was blacker than black in colour. It had horns jutting out of a grotesque face that had nothing. Nothing but ill intent. And I could hear a growl from the other side of the door as I envisioned it baring its charred teeth at me. It took a stand as if it was ready to charge if I got up. As I did, as a child, I thought, sod that. And I lay back down and curled against my fiancé with the blanket over my head. I lay there for what felt like forever, my heart racing, until I found myself overcome by sleep. I woke up again around 6:50 a.m., after I heard his mother leave for work. My room was near the front door, so I could audibly hear the door lock. I finally mustered up the courage to get up and go to the bathroom and then get water. On my way to the kitchen, which shares a wall with my bedroom, I noticed that my fiancé's mother's door was closed, which she would normally leave open for her cat, which I thought was odd. And I started to get that uneasy feeling again. No real reason, but pure fear and nervousness, and I started singing Whitney Houston out loud to show I wasn't scared. Even though I knew I oozed fear. Listening for any noise, any at all, as I drank down a glass of water, I eventually heard my fiancé's mother's door open. And she bounced through the door, claiming she's forgot her headphones. But again, odd, as she's a senior caregiver, and they can't have anything in their ears and must be on high alert. A momentary lapse in time happened, where a conversation happened that I can't remember what was said, all the while feeling uneasy still. As she left out of the front door, I stood there perplexed, but went back to bed all the same. I was very unsure of what had just happened. I figured I'd talk to her the next day when she got home from work. Fast forward just a few hours to when she gets home from work, I'm sitting there talking to her on the couch, replaying the conversation from the morning, or should I say, trying to, when she looked at me with pure confusion. She stated she never came back, and was at work by that time. I felt a knot tighten in my stomach, and I stated, Well, who the hell did I talk to then? It's racked my brain ever since. But my speculations are whatever the hell I saw in my mind's eye had disguised itself as my fiancé's mother. I honestly feel like that lapse of time I can't recollect the conversation was something I was not supposed to remember. Something it didn't want me remembering. But that's not all. About 6 months later, I'm sitting there after a few drinks with my fiancé when I went into a trance-like state while recalling those events and coherently ask him to type up what I was about to say in case I didn't remember saying it. I stated through tears and fear, "There's a porthole in our hallway that was opened, and whatever that thing was, it wasn't after me, but after her sister. It wanted her, not me. It's been following her around and was trying to isolate her. It started in the room at the hotel she'd worked previously, the room her and the rest of the girls hated being. It was trying to cause havoc in a life, in a marriage, and it just wanted her." I became a sobbing mess, rocking back and forth, terrified to continue. My fiancé was concerned and came over to my side, hugging me tight to calm me down. After this trance-like state lifted, I felt drained, so tired. I looked at him and told him he could not tell his sister. It would only freak her out more. Eventually, I told her. She was freaked out. But she stated she wished I'd have told her sooner. After that, she had her and our entire home saged. Things have been quiet since. But every so often, I will see someone's head peer around corners, or things getting moved or sounds of something being dropped. I tend to ignore it as to not give it any extra power. Since that occurrence, I hardly touch my tarot or my pendulums. I don't watch scary movies anymore, and I try not to read scary stories, which I love. But out of fear of inviting anything unwanted into my space, I've become very cautious. I still think about those events often, and still try to wrap my head around them. I found it easier to talk about this after listening to the podcast, as it all flooded back in. Maybe this has happened to others. Maybe it will resonate with other people and make them feel not as alone. I understand that some people may think it's my way of life, my belief system that brought it on. But as I explained about my past history, I experience things my entire life. I am extra sensitive to the paranormal, and it's only the surface of my experiences. I've been through a lot in my lifetime, and that could have sparked this sensitivity to come forth. Death, medical problems, trauma, etc. I'm still learning to navigate this myself, but I do hope this can help others that possibly go through some of the same. Thank you for letting me share my story, and do let me know if you have any questions. Naomi. Wow. First, thank you, Naomi. I genuinely enjoyed, from a horrific way from your perspective, but from a brilliant paranormal tale perspective, your email. That was truly terrifying, and I often, as we know, talk about authenticators, and they're not always paranormal ones. They're sometimes the way the story's structured, or events within the story, where you do have to question if somebody is inventing this story. That is almost too unbelievable for someone to pick out of the air. And there are so many of those within your email that to me, this experience is 100% true. And the extra cherry on the cake from a validation point of view is that, yes, you state you have a sort of psychic power, if you will, or at least the sense to pick up on these entities around you. However, you almost play that down. Now, to me, again, that screams authenticity. And I think all the listeners will agree. Usually, if somebody claims to have some sort of sixth sense, it's kind of done in a way which is a lot different to how you've done it. Let me put it that way. There's authenticity throughout this experience, and that's why I reread your email again once I realized it was authentic and genuine. And the second time I did so, knowing it was real, it genuinely sent chills down my bones. So I would suggest to people, I can't do it sadly because I hate the sound of my own voice, but I would suggest listening to this again. We always say leave your disbelief at the door, but go with this story, this experience, as being 100% real and start at the beginning. And I do genuinely think, just like the film The Devil's Advocate, there are other things you will spot as you're listening, in the knowledge this is all real. This is a perfect example of a submission, which is why the show exists. To prove the darker side of the paranormal is something not only that exists, but is something we should be afraid of. So Naomi, seriously, thank you for such a wonderful experience. Okay guys, don't forget, we are coming up rapidly to the end of June, therefore the end of the free week trial that's on offer to everyone to the Patreon of the Dark Paranormal at the highest level. Just head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal. And don't forget again, if you have an experience that you wish to share and potentially may make it onto season 21, there are two ways to submit your experience. Either click in the show notes or go to the webpage thedarkparanormal.com and click Submit My Experience. But in the meantime, I'll see you all next week. And don't forget, if you're discussing the paranormal, always try to leave some of your disbelief at the door. And I'll see you next time for episode 8 already of The Dark Paranormal.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.